إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you about the purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this month and what we should do with this month. One of our asatidah used to say, do we enter Ramadan or does Ramadan enter us? Which happens? Do we enter Ramadan? Meaning that is it just one more month of the calendar that we have entered, like we enter any other month? Or does Ramadan enter us? Meaning that is there a special spirit of Ramadan that enters us when this month comes? Does our behavior change? And of course I can say, I can vouch for it, that especially in our masjid, and also true for probably all the masajids in the world, Ramadan does enter us, and people's behavior does change. So people who you do not normally see in Salatul Fajr, you start seeing them in Ramadan. The key thing to ask is, how long does that Ramadan which enters us, how long will it stay there? Because that is the tragedy of all the masajid. As soon as the Ramadan is over, then the, it's like the moon, chan ke saath aate, chan ke saath jaate. So, inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq not to do that. Alhamdulillah, if something good happens, let us retain that thing which is good. There is no sense in getting something good and leaving it. So, what is the purpose of this Ramadan? The purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem is to remind us about the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Islam itself. Inshallah, this Jumu'ah I will speak about this in more detail, but just to give you a preview. And inshallah, we will do this as a series of further reminders for Ramadan. So, may Allah give us the tawfiq and the hidayah to be able to speak about useful things as we go along. So, as I said, the purpose of Ramadan is the purpose of Islam. And that purpose is to get to the root cause of how to be a winner in this world and the next. Islam came to change the world. Islam came to make people winners, not losers. And Islam came and did that in a very beautiful way, which is that Islam went to the root cause of how does a person become a winner. As I have said many times before, and many of you have heard me when I have said that, if you want to affect, if you want to change and affect, if you want to change and affect, you have to go to the cause. You have to go to the cause which is creating that effect. If you treat only the symptoms, let's take the issue of, for example, illness. Somebody has a headache. And if you keep eating Tylenol or Crocin or whatever, right? You eat 2, it doesn't work. You eat 4, maybe it helps you. And then next time 4 doesn't help you anymore. You have to eat more and so on and so on. What is any doctor worth the name going to tell you? The doctor will say, go and get a scan of your head. We must see what is the reason for this headache. This headache can be because you have stress. The headache can be because you have some kind of a fever. The headache can be because you have a brain tumor. Right? So one is not a cause for worry. You eat a Crocin or something, it is gone. That's the end of the story. The other one is actually life-threatening. And if you don't do something about it seriously, then it is going to kill you. Just treating the symptoms of the headache is not going to help you. The same thing is true of all effects. Today the world likes to talk about the need for peace, right? And we have our Muslim, speakers and so on who say Islam means peace. Islam does not mean peace, right? Islam does not mean peace. Islam means something else. But people like to talk about peace. You say, we should have peace. We should have harmony. So if you really want peace and you really want harmony, then go to the root cause of what is causing the disharmony, what is causing the violence, what is causing the upheavals in society. Go to the root cause of that. Now, instead of that, what do? We try to address only the symptoms. Here are the symptoms of violence, so therefore do something. You throw some money at it, you know, bribe your way out of it, or if money doesn't work, then, you know, shoot a few people. And we think that we will have peace. The reason why we will never have peace is because we don't want to look at the reason why peace is being disturbed. And what is that reason? The reason is that there is no justice. There cannot be peace in the absence of justice. If you have injustice, then people will protest. As long as there is anybody alive, even if it is one person, that person, he or she, will speak out against injustice. In whichever way they know. Some people know how to speak well, some people know how to write well, some people know how to throw a stone well, Allah alam. Right? But people will speak against injustice as long as there is injustice. And you will never have peace. No matter what you do, peace is not possible until you address the root cause of peace. I am giving you these two examples, one of illness personally and one of illness in society. To establish my argument that if you want to address an effect, if you want to change an effect, you have to address the root cause which is creating that effect. Now, to come back therefore from this to Islam and to Ramadan, what is the effect that we want to address? What did Islam come to change? Islam came to change the effect of a world which is headed for disaster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr." Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separate anybody from that? In this one ayah, did He separate anyone? No. Innal insana lafi khusr. Every human being is headed towards disaster. Is headed towards disaster. And what did Islam come to do? Islam came to change that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get any enjoyment in throwing people into the hellfire and watching them burn. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us in order to burn us in the hellfire. That's not the reason why Allah created us. The one who lands up in the hellfire is doing it on his own. He's paying for it, he's making effort for it. He's refusing to see the danger signs and then he lands up in the hellfire. It's his own fault. It's nothing. La zulma al-yawm. Allah said on this day there will be no zulm. But Allah did not create us for that purpose. So Islam came to change this. And how, what does Islam change it? And why does Ramadan, how does Ramadan come into this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the same surah, Allah mentioned, those who are not in a loss, those who are not headed for disaster, and who are those? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. I am not going to do a tafsir of the surah, but I am saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these four qualities. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who have believed, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and then who practice that belief. What is the meaning of good deeds? Those who do good deeds means what? Who will do good deeds? What are good deeds? That is what Islam, that is what Ramadan came to teach us. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They don't do good deeds alone, but they also invite others towards the same thing. They also ask others also to do good deeds. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And then they have patience and they have forbearance and they keep quiet when they face any difficulty in that path. Now, how does that happen? And that's what Ramadan came to teach us. As I said, to change the effect, we have to address the cause. So what is the cause? Why? What is the cause and why is all humanity headed towards disaster? If you look at the same surah, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, therefore, the people who do not have iman are headed towards disaster, because the ones who have iman are not headed towards disaster. What is iman? What is iman? What are amal usaleh? What are the good deeds? My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a deen which addresses one, changes just one single switch. It's like, I don't know how many of you have seen, if you have ever been near a station or even where train tracks meet, you know, there is a, it's called switching of tracks. So the blind man, as he's called, he comes and moves the lever, and you have a train headed in one direction, and then the track changes, and the same train which is headed like this will turn. Why? Because the track changed. Right? The train cannot go off the track, the train turns because the switch was pulled and a track got changed. And what is the switch that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed? If you look at the message of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he changed only one thing. And that one thing took a bunch of people who were headed for disaster and made them among those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah. And what was that one track? What was that one switch? That switch was to become concerned about only one thing in this life. And that one thing is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Nothing else. That is the only switch that was changed. To be concerned about the pleasure of Allah alone. Not to be concerned about the pleasure of anyone or anything else. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah, he did not change. He didn't teach the people a new, political theory. He did not teach them a new commercial or economic theory. He did not teach them some manufacturing techniques or better methods of agriculture. He just taught them one single thing. The person who was a shepherd remained a shepherd. The person who was a farmer remained a farmer. A person who was a businessman remained a businessman. What changed? The focus. What was the focus before? The same focus like we have today. What is our focus? Our focus is either safety, which is I must earn so that my family will be safe. I must earn so that my family will be safe. I must have something for my family. Somebody says, boss, but the way you are earning, no, that doesn't matter. Safety. Some other people earn so that they will look good in the eyes of the world. I must have this kind of car, I must have this kind of house, and so on and so on and so on. Status symbols. And you earn to look good in the eyes of the world. Somebody says, how about the method of earning? You swallowed somebody's land here, you took away somebody's property there, you did something there, you are dealing in interest, you are dealing in haram. You deceived somebody. No, I did not deceive anybody. That is called my business acumen. Yeah. There was a time when at least people were ashamed of doing something wrong. Today, they are proud of it. They speak about it. And even the terminology, I don't know how blind one can be. Today, if somebody is called a top dog, that's considered to be a great accolade. So and so is a top dog. Kutta banne mein izzat hai. Ajeeb. Top dog is still a dog, right? I mean, it's a dog on top or a dog on the bottom, what does it matter? It's still a dog. Rat race, as somebody said, even if you win it, you are still a rat. But we are running in the rat race. We like to be rats, we like to be dogs. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Islam came to change you to human beings. Allah made you a human being. Allah made us into human being. Ahsan al-taqwim. He didn't make us into dogs. Why do you want to be dogs? For what? And that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed. And he said, do the same thing you are doing. He didn't say leave business. He said, no. Do business. But now think. I am doing business to please Allah. So what must I do? Look at my business and say, what is it in my business that is not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let me change that. That's all. I still do business. Not that I leave business and I go and sit, in a monastery or I go and sit in a cave on a hill. No. There is nothing romantic about poverty, believe me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from poverty. There is great goodness in wealth, provided that wealth is earned correctly and it is spent correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the strong Muslim. He likes the person with the upper hand, and we ask Allah always to keep us with the upper hand. Never allow us and never put us in a situation where we have to ask anyone other than Allah. Sometimes people tell me, if you need anything, please tell me. So, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. I sit here all the time and say, ask no one other than Allah, and you want me to tell you? Why will I tell you? For what? Because the person saying that is saying it with a good intention, we thank him for his intention. But I'm saying that, just think about this. So what do we do? Anything. I'm saying business, because most of you are business people, but it applies to everything. Whether it is academics, whether it is business, whether it is in the family, whether it is, bringing up children, whether it is children going to school, whatever, anything. Only one single, life is very simple. Life is very simple. We are the ones who complicated unnecessary. Life is very simple. Just one single criterion for every single thing. I am going to say something, a question I ask myself, does this please Allah? And I was going to talk about somebody which is, kind of shaky. So I said, no, does not please Allah. Or maybe I don't know whether this pleases Allah or not. So what do you do if you are in doubt? You don't do anything until you clarify the doubt. You clarify the doubt, then alhamdulillah. I'm about to eat something. Does it please Allah? Is this thing halal? Did this chicken commit suicide? Or was it properly slaughtered? What happened? You don't know. Right? Very well. We are very so keen to eat everything. We have to eat. I'm about to do something. Does it please Allah? And what is the connection with Ramadan? And I want to end with that. The connection with Ramadan is very simple. The connection with Ramadan is a test. And what is the test? The test is that in the normal set of circumstances, in the normal way of living our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain things halal and certain things haram. And that's very clear. Whatever is halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the tayyibat halal, He made whatever is good halal, and He made the qaba'ith haram. Whatever is harmful and dirty, Allah made it haram. But in Ramadan, the test is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us that from this time to this time, even what is normally halal, you would not eat. Allah has made haram that which is halal. What is the reason? Did food suddenly become poisonous or something? Or did my halal biryani suddenly become haram? No. What is the reason? The hukum of Allah. No other reason. It may be logical, may not be logical, may be scientific, may not be scientific, maybe I like it, I don't like it, makes no difference. Why are you fasting? Why am I fasting? Is anybody fasting for to lose weight? If you're doing that, immediately change your niyyah, because then your roza is not, your fast is not a fast. If you're fasting to lose weight, then your niyyah invalidates your fast. We are fasting. Every single Muslim on the face of the planet who is fasting only for one reason, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. Why are you doing it? Because Allah said so. Khalas. No other reason. I need no other reason. I want no other reason. I'm not interested. Somebody might say, well, you know this, you know that. I don't care. So what's the training? The training is that you do only if Allah tells you to do. For no other reason. You do because Allah told you. And that's why I began by saying, did I enter Ramadan or did Ramadan enter me? Because if Ramadan entered me, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ensure that Ramadan enters each and every one of us. If Ramadan entered me, then this single principle of life, this single criterion for decision making, does it please Allah? Will this criterion change with Eid al-Fitr? Will this criterion change when we see the moon of Shawwal? No. The criterion remains, does not change. So after Ramadan, what will I do when I am faced with any situation? Same criterion. I ask only one question. Does this please Allah? If it pleases Allah, I do it. If it does not please Allah, I do not do it. If I am in doubt, I clarify my doubt. Finish it. And that is the connection with Ramadan, with Islam, and with winning in this world and the next. How this leads to winning and so on, we'll see inshallah in detail. I don't want to go into that detail just now. Just to bring this point into our lives and say that if Ramadan entered me, then did Ramadan enter me in a state where I now make this niyyah, inshallah. Let us all make this niyyah. That from now onwards till the day I die, I will live my life only with one criterion. And that criterion is, does it please Allah? And I will guarantee you, inshallah, musta'an, in the name of my Rabb, that if we live our life like that, then the day when we need Him the most, the day when we need Him the most, when we are lying there with the breath stuck in our throats, He will stand by us. He will stand by us. Because there is no one who is more faithful than Allah. There is no one who is more supportive of those who are faithful to Him than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He mentioned this, and He promised this, where He said, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and specifically promised this. And inshallah, He will stand by His promise. Provided we stand by our covenant and our promise to live our lives only for one reason, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to use this Ramadan to train our nafs. To train our nafs. In such a way that our nafs does not allow us to get destroyed. And to train our nafs so that it becomes obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lot of people talk about, I am going to kill my nafs. That's a stupid statement. You cannot kill your nafs. I want to kill my ego. Your ego will die the day you die because it is with you. The idea is not to kill it. The idea is to train it. It's to train it to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not obedient to desires. Not obedient to the world. Not trying to please this one and that one. Please only one, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, and to be pleased with us, and to help us, and to reward us in keeping with His majesty and grace, not in keeping with our effort. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this Ramadan, and accept Tilawatul Quran, and accept our salawat, and accept our sawm, and be pleased with us, and accept all our du'as. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.